morning, Ecclesia. It's Dr. McCoy, and I am so grateful that you invited me to be your preacher on today. I'm certainly grateful to Pastor Curtis for all of the correspondence over the past few weeks, and I'm just excited that we are worshiping together again. You've invited me to be your preacher before, and I certainly don't take it lightly that you've invited me once again. I do bring you greetings from the Mount Peace Baptist Church out of Raleigh, North Carolina, where my pastor is the Reverend Dr. J. Vincent Terry Sr. I'm certainly grateful for his leadership and for him being my pastor. As you can see, I'm in a beautiful scene on this morning, and I tell you, it is a beautiful thing to worship God in the midst of his creation. So on this morning, I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read from the Message version of Scripture on this morning. I like the way that it was laid out for us. I want you to listen to this. The Bible says, "Stay on good terms with each other, held together by love. Be ready with a meal or a bed when it's needed. Why, some have extended hospitality to angels without ever knowing it. Regard prisoners as if you were in prison with them. Look on victims of abuse as if what happened to them happened to you." So on this morning, I want to focus on the thought, walking upright in an uptight world. Walking upright in an uptight world. I really love Hebrews because, you see, the theme of Hebrews is the doctrine of Christ and his role as mediator between God and humanity. Now, I particularly like chapter 13 because it talks to us about living a Christian life. And it talks to us about brotherly love. And I don't know about you, but I feel that in 2020, we truly need to hear that message. What it is to live a Christian life and to walk in brotherly love. Because many times I would submit to us that humanity in America, we choose self a lot of times. You know, we live in an individualistic society, and many times we even choose segregation. When thinking about self and segregation, it came to my mind that great poet, that great playwright and novelist, James Baldwin. When he talked about segregation, he said that there's a price that we pay for segregation. He said the price that we pay is apathy and ignorance. These are his words. You don't know what's happening on the other side of the wall because you don't want to know. It's not a racial problem. It's a problem whether or not you're willing to look at your life and be responsible for it, and then begin to change it. James Baldwin said, "We must form a new identity for which we need each other." Yes, so I contend that we must walk upright in love, but you know, that can be pretty hard when living in such an uptight world. What do I mean about living in an uptight world? Well, I mean, what does it really take to follow the scripture that we read on this morning? I mean, to look on victims of abuse as if what happened to them happened to you when the world is so uptight. I mean, what does it take really to live like this scripture says, extending care to other people when the world seems so uptight? We can barely sit and hear one another's stories. When was the last time we really sat together and listened or bared one another's burdens, even when listening to each other's stories? I don't know. I kind of wish that we could leap into one another's experiences sometimes. And maybe that would help us to maybe not be so uptight. If I really knew what it was like to be you. Has anybody ever watched this show? It came out in like 1989. And the title of the series was Quantum Leap. Has anybody ever watched Quantum Leap? They still show reruns. But Quantum Leap was a great show because it was about a former scientist by the name of Sam Beckett. And he found himself trapped in time due to an experiment that went wrong. Now, Sam Beckett would wake up to find himself in a different body every week. He was a different person each week. He would leap into someone else's experience. Al, first known as an observer, was Sam's holographic advisor. And so he would provide Sam with some inside information so that Sam could navigate through this new person experience that he was having within a given week. I wonder what it would be like to leap into your experience. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe it would help me to walk upright in this uptight world, because the text tells us to be hospitable. It can be challenging to be hospitable if maybe we had to listen to someone else's story. I don't know. Maybe it would be difficult, because really the reality is that some of us, the text says that we should be ready with a meal or a bed when it's needed, but some of us are more prepared with meals and beds for dogs than we are for human beings. Hospitality can be challenging. Maybe hospitality can be challenging because we may wonder what a person would say if and when they sat at our dinner table. Think about it. You don't know what I'm going to say when I sit at your dinner table. You don't know after you've prepared, like the text says, a meal or a bed for me. You don't really know. I mean, what if, for example, I started to talk to you about my experience in this black body? You can't leap into a black body, right? I can't leap into a white body. Yet and still, we live in America where black, white, you know, race is so prevalent of a conversation that we don't even want to have. Yet and still, it affects our everyday life. But you can't leap into my black body. So what if I started to talk about my experience in this black body? Well, there is a book that is written by a woman by the name of Austin Channing Brown. And in that book, she talks about, or she tells her story of growing up in a black body. The book is entitled Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness. Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness. Could we be hospitable to Miss Austin Channing Brown? Because this is what she would have to say if we were to interview her. If she were here right now and I asked her the question, walking upright in love in an uptight society, what does that look like for you? In her book, this is what she says about love. She says, I'm not interested in a love that refuses to see systems and structures of injustice. That's not interested in a love that refuses to see systems of structures and of injustice, preferring to ask itself only about personal intentions. She says, this aloof kind of love is useless to me. I need a love that is troubled in injustice. A love that is provoked to anger when black folks, including our children, lie dead in the streets. A love that can no longer be concerned with tone because it's concerned with life. A love that has no tolerance for hate, no excuses for racist decisions, no contentment in the status quo. I need a love that is fierce in its resilience and sacrifice. I need a love that chooses justice. But I have learned that when I expect this kind of love for my black female body, it means inviting hopelessness to my doorstep. After hearing her reality, could you still be hospitable? Well, the text tells us, the Bible says, stay on good terms. Stay on good terms with each other, held together by love. Real love for one another is what the text is compelling us to show. Regardless of our differences, that great American writer and feminist and womanist, that great civil rights activist, Audre Lorde, she said that it is not our differences that divide us. It is our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences. Even as I'm out here in nature, I see so many trees that are different. They're different from one another. But they should be celebrated for their differences, not segregated because of their differences. The text says, don't be a bystander. It says, regard prisoners as if you were in prison with them. Look on victims of abuse as if what happened to them happened to you. No, we can't leap into a different body each week like Sam Beckett, but nonetheless, we don't have to be bystanders. You see, I think that many of us understand how to empathize with one another, even when it comes to difficult times. I mean, think about it. You don't have to leap into the body of a person who is dealing with cancer in order to not be a bystander. Whenever we find that people we care about, our brothers and sisters, have cancer, we do something. I don't have cancer, but I take the 5K run. I don't have cancer, but I may cut my hair in solidarity with those who are dealing with cancer. I may not have cancer. I may not understand that experience, but I donate. I give money to research. So for the sake of those who are in the prison of dealing with injustice, for the sake of those who are in the prison of dealing with racism, you can do something. You can protest. You can call representatives. You can donate money and support black businesses and HBCUs, that's historical black colleges and universities. There's something that you can do, even though you can't leap into the black experience. You can actively work with those that are allies. You can become a better ally, actually, because it's not time to just be quietly non-racist. It's time to be vocally anti-racist. So being part of my brother and sister's experience is not about perfection, but it's about progress. Oh, I know, you can see my shirt. It's not about perfection, but it is about progress. We must be people of progress. Even when we consider Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is the greatest example of progress. Because even when people were trying to perhaps meet perfection, Jesus was progressive. Jesus, those lepers, they should be segregated and they should be in their own colony, Jesus. Oh, but Jesus was a man of progress. Jesus was concerned for the lepers. He was not about this out of sight, out of mind. But Jesus, you're going to be concerned about a woman with a blood issue? She has been deemed unclean and she touched the hem of your garment. You're going to do something about her, Jesus? I mean, we want to be prophetically or perfectly clean, but Jesus, a man of progress, made that woman well. Jesus, you're concerned about multitudes of people who haven't had food to eat? Send them away. Let someone else be concerned about them. But oh no, not Jesus. Jesus was about progress. Sit them down. I will feed them. Jesus, you're going to be concerned about a man that was born blind? I mean, that's the way he was born. Why not just let him? I mean, that's the hand that was dealt to him, Jesus. But no, Jesus, a man of progress, made sure that blind eyes were open, that they could see. Jesus, you're concerned about an invalid at a pool called Bethesda. I mean, the man has been that way for so long. You know, sometimes humans get comfortable with their condition, Jesus, but no, Jesus was a man of progress when in his earthly ministry. Get up, take up your bed, and walk. So Jesus didn't have this type of pseudo love. Jesus was concerned for all people. Jesus was the type of person where he said, yes, I see you. And so on today, we have to ask ourselves, do we really see everyone? Do I see you? Do you see me? My brothers and sisters, may we walk upright, even in an uptight world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.